The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
And we have a guest in the studio today, Jim Rutkowski. He's the Executive Director, Chairman of the Thumb Area Dental Clinic. And we've been talking about it in the news in the past few months as this has been developed. And we're going to get a little more information from Jim on where things stand. And basically, Jim, it's a program for people on Medicaid, not Medicare, who are adults and aren't being served with the dental services that they need because Medicaid normally doesn't pay enough to make it work for at the dentist office, if I'm getting this right.
Yeah, that's correct, Craig, and thank you for having me here, and thank you for the people that are out there listening. Basically, the clinic idea has come through a process. Originally, there was a group that came into the area and projected that they could put a clinic in to serve the Tri-County areas. The dentist took a look at things and said they wanted to always serve the people of the three counties with better services through a Medicaid program, and put their heads together to come up with a way to actually get that done. Now, the dentists are very busy people, so they hired me to do that work. I have I'm a business consultant, and I have set up 501c3 nonprofits in the past, so I was selected to do the job for them. We've been working on this since September, and we've made a lot of progress. So yes, this clinic is based on the idea of serving Medicaid individual adults. The reason that it is limited to adults in the beginning is that people right now, and not everybody may know this, but Medicaid individuals in the three counties, and as far as that goes anywhere, can take their children that are, I believe it's 19 and below, to their local dentists and go under a healthy kids program that's available. So right now, anybody who is on Medicaid can do that. Now, it is shown that 27% of people do not do that. Either they don't know that there is a program, or they know it and they just don't do it. But 27% of you are not taking care or taking the time or knowledge of proceeding forward and taking your kids. So that's available. But ultimately, we look at this whole program as it's locally set up. It's locally controlled. The board is made up of 9 dentists and 3 people from the health departments as advisors. Obviously, there's 3 counties, so we have 3 people from the health departments. We also have a spot on the board for a commissioner from each county. That is, and we have an accountant and we have a banker on board. All of this local. And that is a driving force behind directing myself as to what I do. If you're unfamiliar with a 501c3 nonprofit entity, nonprofits are very much watched by the federal government, that they any of the monies that are made that are of profit actually have to either be kept for buying of equipment or utilized for reaching out to individuals and helping them out. Our program here is going to be a twofold program. We're going to be supplying services and procedures to individuals, and also we're going to be doing outreach community education so that people know about the program, how it works, and what dental issues can cause as far as other health issues, and how, if you keep up on dental work, that it creates a whole less heartache, and I don't want to say pain because we're kind of painless on dental procedures now, but if you keep up and you go to a hygienist, you get your appointments done every 6 months or a year, chances are if they catch an issue of a filling, it's going to be a minor filling. if you wait 2 years, it can be a root canal. So why put up with the root canal when you, if you keep servicing yourself, you can service yourself and keep under, you know, a less pain situation. Also, I mean, what we're hoping to do, and I used to be a county economic developer at one time, is we're looking at the economic development sense of this and trying to help individuals. If they have better health and they have better teeth, then obviously their availability to get into a work situation, a work environment, and get hired is obviously higher. The clinic will be located in Cass City. We have signed a lease agreement on a building there. The reason that Cass City was chosen was because we wanted to. We've been working with the three transportation entities, and the three transportation entities said that they would service us to the thumb. The three transportation entities obviously being Sanilac, Tuscola, and Huron's transportation entities, so that we could get patients there that can't get there via the TAP bus or other, you know, Thumb Body Express or Sanilac transportation. So then that area that we could be utilized for servicing was kind of defined by that. It wasn't defined by us. A few months ago, we started looking into what was available. There was really nothing available on the corner of, let us say, 53 and 81. We wanted to see if we could get a building that was existing that wouldn't have a lot of costs into putting in some of the facility requirements needed to have the dental facility running. So what did become available to us in the last couple months was the Campbell Elementary School. They, Cass City Schools, have combined the junior high with the elementary because of a loss of students, and that school was available. So we took a look at it, and it's just a great facility for what we're going to do, and we don't have to put a lot of cash in it.
As I understand, you're not utilizing, though, the whole school. You just basically want a wing of it?
That's correct. We're only taking the west side wing of it. You know, there are hopes that in the future we can work with the school. I can work with the school and hoping to get more of that building utilized for, you know, possibly other community care facilities. We have talked with the FQHC in the area, and they're thinking about opening a medical facility. Possibly they could consider that as an option for where their medical facility is. We're looking, we actually have a community space. Because we're taking the whole west wing, we obviously don't need all of that for procedure and waiting room, so, and storage. So we're going to have a community outreach center there, and that's going to be one of the areas that we're going to have available for community education and community health. So again, you know, one of the things we're trying to do here is not only just plainly have procedures available for Medicaid individuals, but we're also looking at being a part of the community and helping them educate people. We won't only do it at that facility, we'll be going out to schools and other programs. We really want to reach the people that are of the age that this is a concern of. It doesn't mean we don't want to reach seniors, but we really want to look at the people who are coming out of the Healthy Kids program. So the 20-year-olds to the 45-year-olds, we want to make sure they know. It's our charge to make them know what is available to them, why they should get health care, why they should get it for their kids, what it actually means, what, you know, how does it create a better life for them if they actually are in good dental health, and how it relates to other functions in the health, in their health of their body.
And when you were looking at buildings, were there other factors you had to look at with, like, a school there? You'd have, like, concrete with terrazzo-type floors that are easy to keep clean because this is a medical facility. I mean, all of these things, you know, you can't really do a dentist in carpeting and stuff. It just doesn't sound healthy. I mean, all these other factors had to come into play when picking your site.
Well, yeah, there's sort of a basic sort of realm that you want to operate in. You know, there's and it's really getting to that point. So, and dental care now, the designers of the building, people who have designed it is Henry Schein, who have taken what we have at the building and have created the design for it. Now, Henry Schein is one of the largest suppliers and designers of dental facilities in the world, not only the United States. So we got them involved to do the designs for us so that the facility was a, you know, up-to-date, of-today facility. If you've been in dental facilities lately, you've seen how much they've come from, depending on your age. I remember when I was a kid going to a dentist's office, it was way different than what a dentist office is today. So there's been, you know, very much, very many things that have taken place in dental practices, procedures, how the office looks that are going to be of this facility. So knowing what it's going to be in at the end, there's sort of only one way to do that. Now, of course, carpeting is an option. You can have the facilities that do have carpeting and don't. We're not going to have carpeting in this facility. We're going to be utilizing the linoleum floors that are actually in the building. But we are going to be, you know, doing and building, doing the construction that's going to take place to build the walls, partitions, put in the new sinks, all new chairs, you know, all new equipment, x-ray equipment. We have an IT grant in place for the technology that actually has to be utilized by April 1st. That's one of our concerns with getting our answers from the commissioners is that we have to utilize those funds by April 1st. So, you know, we will have, getting back to your question before I digress too much, you know, that design of that facility will be state of the art and will utilize certain things. And thus, yes, we had to pick a building that we didn't have astronomical funds to switch it over into a medical facility. And that school worked actually a lot better than we thought it was for that sort of entity.
Does the lease option help in the startup?
Oh, yeah.
Buying a whole building yourself?
Yeah. You know, our lease has an option of it to buy it after a few years. You know, the biggest concerns with starting a nonprofit is the beginning, as it is of any business. You know, you'll get used to where the money's coming from, where the grants are coming from, comfort of the facility, comfort of the IGT transfers with the counties. All of that will get settled into. We'll know the amount of patients we're going to have. I mean, right now we have the possibilities of 13,500 patients being served there each year. However, statistics show that only 50% of people who have dental insurance, so I'm speaking of like Blue Cross or other dental insurances, utilize their dental insurance. So instantly you look at the figures. Now we're hoping we have 13,500, but you look at that and you've got to instantly divide the 13,500 into half. And so now you're talking less than 7,000 people that may come there on a yearly basis. And then you start looking at some other statistics of Medicaid individuals not using, you know, 27% don't send their kids. So now you got to take basically another 27% out of that whack of the 50%. And you're sort of looking at it could be realistically be more like 6,000 patients we may be servicing, 5,000 to 6,000 per year. We're hoping that isn't the case. But again, we're going to get used to that after a year. We're going to know our numbers of patients, how we're working with the health departments, how we're getting our information out, and how the people are going to be able to get to the dentist. So, you know, we're really hoping that people put it more on their forefront to actually utilize dental services on a given basis so that they have the knowledge of what it means if they don't, and they actually can utilize that knowledge.
You have to use these statistics that you know of to plan what type of facility you need. You don't want to, you're going to start off, as I understand, with like 4 chairs. You don't want to start out with 10 and have 7 of them empty all the time. You want to be, And if you get more, you can always expand. There's room at the school.
Yeah, that was, you know, in looking at the facility that we were going to have, that was, you know, something we had to keep in mind was how, if we start out with four chairs, how fast can we be at eight chairs? Because we really don't know how many people we're going to actually get in. We want a facility that it's not going to take 6 months to do that. We took a look at our situation and said probably in 6 weeks we could have another four. So if we open and we really start seeing that we're going to be operating with 7,000 patients a year, then we have that ability to pull in another dentist and put four more chairs in basically in the classroom next door, redo that classroom. It's a separated entity. We could close off all the doors, have construction going on in there while we're still taking care of patients. They're even not really going to even hear it going on. And so, you know, that was a big concern in making sure that we could expand and expand quickly and with little effort.
What type of services does Medicaid pay for in dentistry? I go to the dentist and there's restoration, there's whitening, there's orthodontic work. I mean, does it just basically cover the basics of cleaning, fillings, and maybe a root canal or an extraction if you're hurting?
You hit it, yeah. I mean, you basically took care of it and dentures. So, you know, that's a lot like the dental programs that you may have available through Blue Cross. I have Blue Cross myself, and they don't take care of bonding. And they do take care of some Blue Cross programs take care of white fillings, while other programs may not. You know, you may be in a silver filling situation. But basically, you get the basics. So you're gonna get fillings, cleanings, a root canal if it's absolutely needed, extractions if it's actually at that point. Hopefully, it's not. Extractions for. I lost the dentures and dentures themselves and refits for dentures. So that's what's basically
needed. Do they do partials and such?
I would imagine they do a partial. I don't have all of that absolutely memorized currently, okay. But I would imagine it's the basics to make sure that, you know, you actually don't have issues with you know, chewing, eating, pain, you know, situations like that. And hopefully, you know, with the programs that are currently available, you already have healthy kids in the area. If we can start educating people and getting them to the clinic soon enough, over a span of time, we're hoping we won't be doing as many extractions. We won't be doing the types of situations that actually lead to that. I mean, why would we? If we have transportation set up, if we're educating people that it exists, we can get them there, then hopefully people are going to the dentist a lot more often. I know myself, I go and get my cleanings every 6 months. I make sure that I go and keep going, and that way, if I have to get a filling, it's a minimal filling. I mean, I would rather go. It's just, to me, now, going to a hygienist is just, there's no pain in it. I mean, if you go every 6 months, it's just, they're not cleaning that much. If you need a filling, it's relatively painless, and it's small because you've been keeping up with things. I myself would rather do that than go in there after 2 years and we're dealing with a root canal and a large filling and possibly an extraction. That sounds a lot more painful than just going to the hygienist every 6 months or a year.
I know. My dentist has personally told me there can be a chain reaction to stuff in your mouth. You get an extraction, the tooth above it has nothing to oppose it. It starts moving down and it becomes weakened. And it's just best to keep as much in your mouth as you can.
Yeah. And, you know, if the entities are available, why not go? It's not really, doesn't take that long. If you go to a hygienist now, you're generally out of there in 45 minutes to an hour. So why not, you know, schedule that appointment? periodically, every 6 months, every year, depending on what the program defines. And you just really are never getting to this point where you have to go for one extraction, one root canal, and a filling, and, you know, so forth. So, you know, that's, I think, one of the things that I keep saying in the program is let's not lose focus and keep it that this is a two-part program. That one of the parts is, yes, it's the procedures, but the other part's the education. From what I knew of the other group that was coming in, there wasn't any of that. Reach out into the community, work with the health directors, and keep this ongoing education. We're also teaming up with Thumb Rural Health Network. That group has an executive director made up of basically all the hospitals and clinics in the area. She's dealing regionally. We're dealing regionally. From what I know, there's not anyone else who's a regional facility realistically. If the FQHC comes in with their medical clinic, they would be regional. But we want to start looking at how do we become effective regionally. So instead of looking at this as not a lot of people get a lot of information about healthcare on a daily basis that are healthy individuals, we want to start reaching out to the proper areas. We got to define that, and get people who are in their prime of their life educated on health issues that are larger than just dental, but basically how this all intermixes. So, you know, how do you have a good pain-free life when you're in your 60s if you actually kept up on your health along the way and what it means to you? And, you know, but, you know, typically in a lot of areas, you get a lot of people coming to those. You're able to outreach to the kids because you can go to the school and you can easily get seniors because they have the time, but we're hitting the right and left side of the speedometer. We really would like to start reaching the group that's in the middle because they're in the prime of their lives and it really matters to them about what the future will be.
Who's going to be manning the clinic? I mean, I know my dentist, if I have to cancel an appointment, it can be 3 weeks to a month before they can find another opening for me. They're booked up and they're working, you know, the hours they want to do. Who is actually going to be doing the dental work there? Do you need to get new people for this? Are we going to be bringing more to the area, more jobs?
Well, we are going to be bringing, we're hoping, 12 jobs to the area. We are going to be doing an outreach. We probably have... we're hoping hygienists, people becoming hygienists in the area, we can hire from, so that we're not going out of our three counties for the people. So basically, to answer your question, we are hiring. We're not taking from anybody's clinic. That was the idea of all of this. We have had a few retired dentists that said they would like to step up to the plate. We know that this is not going to be an ownership clinic, that I, as the executive director, am going to have to do some management efforts, as well as we're going to be looking for a very trained individual to be the office manager. All of those people are possible new jobs. Obviously, in the beginning, we're not going to start out with 12 new hires because we don't, you know what our numbers are going to be. So we'll be operating with probably 4 hygienists and a couple of assistants and 1 dentist. And that could expand. We could have less hygienists because it depends on the amount of hours that they can actually work. You know, we may only need 2 if they can work full time, but we've got to define that. So the last thing that we would want to do is bring on too much overhead and cause the place to not have the funds to keep operating in the black. This, again, is a nonprofit, so there is no money paid to any of the dentists that are on the board. They can't be. That's regulated by the federal government. So the only individuals that can get paid is the executive director, the office manager, the hygienist, the dentist, just basically the crew, can get paid. None of the board members can. So none of the dentists that made all this up and are putting in all their time and their money, they will get no money for any of that.
When do you think you'll have this started?
We're looking at a July 1 opening. And
does that mean you're going to have to start taking reservations or appointments before that time, because you don't want to be standing around the first day waiting for walk-ins?
That's absolutely right. We're going to start, and we'll get that out to the news media and the radio stations about a month in advance to start dialing in appointment dates. We obviously do not want to do that. We're shooting for July 1. You know how construction goes. It could be sooner. I mean, everything we've done to this point, if you consider we started September 1st, we've gotten an awful lot done. So we want to move quickly. We have to get through the contracts properly, both for us and for the counties. And one of the challenges that we have right now is actually getting those contracts done. I've been at the commissioners. I was at San Juan County yesterday. I was at Huron and Tuscola last week and basically asking them to move as quickly as they possibly can. We're waiting for Huron and Tuscola's all set, but Huron and Sanilac's attorneys to look at. There was a meeting a couple weeks ago that all the counties I wasn't invited to, that all the counties had to decide how they're moving forward, if they are going to move forward. So they got out of that morning meeting with, yes, we're going to move forward with the local dentist. Let's get together all the concerns. We've already seen the contracts from the local dentist, the Thumb Area Dental Clinics, the contract I got an attorney to draw up. We've looked at that. We have some concerns. We will draft up those concerns that came out of that meeting a couple weeks ago. And we will we'll appoint one attorney as the head of that, have them create a letter. That was Tuscola's attorney, Bron Kendrick. He prepared a letter, and about a week ago that went out to the other two counties. We have not heard back from Huron and Sanilac as of 5 o'clock on Tuesday.
Well, the board met Tuesday, but it was a meeting of the whole. They couldn't take any kind of action anyway. Their next meeting where they could take action will be next Tuesday here in Huron County.
Well, you know, where it's at isn't that the board needed to take action. It's really just that their attorney needs to look over Bron Kendrick's synopsis of the meeting and questions to the dentist and say, yeah, you covered it all. Get that letter off to Jim so he can send it to his attorney. Or
they
add these
like
three things.
Trail, though, in the meeting minutes that they're doing this. So that's
yeah, that may be true. Yeah, it may be true.
They usually do it that way.
So, you know, my charge is, you know, making them feel comfortable and getting those letters, you know, that response back from the attorneys of the local commissioners so that we can look at that contract, make those changes to the contract, get it back into their hands, and move forward.
The county's, three counties' participation is kind of key to making this fly.
That's correct.
You need some sort of government entity quasi involved in this to facilitate what you want to do.
Yeah, we have to have, you have to be a contracted firm by a local government. And we have to, I mean, obviously we need the three counties in the area because we have to have enough patience to make this make it work and be in the black. This is a nonprofit again. We're not looking at making any kind of astronomical profits. But we are looking at making this pay the people and also creating a fund so that we can take care of some indigent people that are in the three counties. So if there are any funds that are made above and beyond paying the crew and paying the bills and paying, you know, the heating bill and the instruments and so forth. We're building a fund with that, and that fund will be used for treating indigent people based on their income. They will get support for the money they don't have on a percentage basis based on their salary to get a procedure done. That'll probably take a year or 6 months to actually get done. That's defined by how many patients we're going to have and how fast the fund grows. We're also going to be taking donations from businesses to build that fund. All of that after we get the contract signed, though. So we're kind of right now at the gate. We have the plans done for the building. We have all the bids done. We have a grant in place. We're applying for another two grants. But realistically, where we sit right now is all of that's done. It's all just we need to get the contracts done. Hopefully we can do that in a month. Hopefully we can get this week, beginning of next week, the issues from the commissioners over to us so that we can get it to our attorney, make those changes in the contract, get back in front of them. So this is I think it's a fantastic thing. I've done a lot of things for individuals and businesses across the state, and the dentists are really putting a lot of money and a lot of effort into getting something so that all of the people in the area are serviced, and it's a good thing for everybody in the three counties. It's a good thing for jobs. It's a good thing for getting people aware of why dentistry is so important and healthcare is so important.
Well, wish you luck. I know you've got a little more work to do yet, but you've been on the road a couple of months and have gone a long way, and wish you well, and keep us informed and let us know when you're going to need people to start making appointments and when you've got all your I's dotted and T's crossed and things are a full steam ahead go.
Yeah, and glad to be here. If you ever need me back for an update, I'll be glad to be here. We're progressing forward. I'm sure this thing is going to move well. And, as long as we do it carefully and we do it correctly, it'll be a win-win for everybody. So thank you for having me here. It's been very enjoyable to share, anything. And I'm sure if there's any questions people have, they can get a hold of the station or so forth, and we'll get those answered.
Appreciate you coming out.
Alrighty. Thank you very much.
Our guest today on the program has been Jim Rutkowski, Executive Director and Chairman of the Thumb Area Dental Clinic, that they are working to getting started by maybe, it's not official, but maybe July the 1st, and it would be in the Cass City area at the Cass City former elementary school, Campbell Elementary School, and it would service the three-county area for adults who are on Medicaid to begin with, and then low-income people later on as funds allow. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news here at WLEW.